I want you to open your Bibles to Luke. Now, I don't know what each one of you have going on in your life. I know some bits and pieces from our brief interactions. Some of you come here heavy-hearted. And some of you come here broken. Some of you come here hurting this morning. And if somebody were to say and ask you the question, do you have peace? If you were to be honest, you're like, I don't have peace. I think not having peace is so connected to uncertainty. And we struggle with anxiety, when we struggle with fears. We're struggling mostly with the unknown. How's this going to play out? And we're afraid it's going to play out for the worst case scenario. And I want to challenge us believers to know that God's Word speaks certainties into our life so that we can hear the promises of the Lord and be moved out of those worries and those fears and those anxieties to peace. Luke chapter 1 says, "Inasmuch many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled, those promises that have been kept by God, among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also." This is Luke speaking, moved by the Holy Spirit. "Having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, most excellent New Harmony Presbyterian Church, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." That you may know with certainty that what I'm telling you happened. That you may know with certainty that all those promises in the Old Testament, this waiting for this Prince of Peace to come, has been fulfilled. The text today is Luke chapter 2, a very familiar text. We're going to read one that Linus spoke in the Christmas, Charlie Brown Christmas, whatever his name. Linus spoke it from the floor of the stage. And I'm going to read you God's word from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which was told them concerning this Christ. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, your word. This is not the word of man, even though you use Luke to write it, so that we may know the certainty of these things that happened and took place. We ask that you would use it in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. During the children's message, you heard the opposite of peace, hate, anger. And then you heard war. And somebody said, World War. I don't know if they said two or one. But in World War I, and I don't know if you've ever studied World War I, that kind of sometimes we neglect that war because of other wars that interest us, especially us historians. But World War I was a horrible war as well. And if you ever read anything about it, I read a book one time in high school or middle school, All's Quiet on the Western Front, and got a picture of the living conditions of the soldiers during that time. And they lived in filth, and they had disease and rats and all kind of stuff crawling around these trenches. I always had been fascinated by trench warfare, and as a kid I would try to create that in the backyard or out in the woods, a trench warfare going on where you're down hunkered in. I said, that'd be awesome to be in a trench. It was not awesome because there were a bunch of people in it, and it was just not a clean place to be. But on Christmas Eve, there's a lot of Christmas shows out there. There's one called Joyeux Noël, which is in French, means Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas. And it came out in 2005, and it was 1914, and Kaiser Wilhelm II had thousands of Christmas trees taken to the German soldiers during this war. And they're lit up, and they're out there, I guess, with candles, and they had these Christmas trees. And this very gifted soldier, in their time of just kind of thinking of what Christmas means, broke out in the song Silent Night. And as he was singing that song Silent Night, those in the other trenches against them, the French and the Scottish troops, started to join in, even though he was singing it in German. And before you know it, they're coming out of their trenches and they're going out into the battlefield without their guns. And they had a ceasefire, a new Christmas Eve truce. And there was gifts exchanged and pleasantries passed. It was a pretty amazing night where you have these men that are hunkered into the trenches looking to kill each other. There's death all around them. There's dead bodies of friends and people who they had actually shot. And they see these bodies lying around. They're brought together by this famous Christmas carol, Silent Night, famous Christmas hymn. It'd be a powerful thing to witness, wouldn't it? A bunch of different languages singing Silent Night, three different at least, in their own language coming out there. We have a more amazing event here that we just read. And so often we've kind of belittled it in our minds. We've belittled the amazing aspect of what the shepherds witnessed. They, according to the text, they saw an angel, which would be amazing in itself. And I don't think angels look necessarily the way we have them pictured. And then they said the glory of the Lord in behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them in verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. So the glory of the Lord was shining around them. And the first words from the angel says, do not be afraid. They were greatly afraid. These men who had seen probably a lot of scary things at night watching over their sheep had now seen something they'd never seen before, and they were afraid. And then all of a sudden this multitude of angels come, an army of angels. You know, some of the studiers of the word would say that term used here was thousands upon thousands. Thousands of angels showed up. And they sang out what the verses that we're going to look at more intently tonight, today, which is, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, shepherds were not very respected. It wasn't a respected job by those people in those days. In fact, shepherds were known to be dishonest. A shepherd's testimony wouldn't even count in court. They had no respect for them. They were considered the lowly of lowlies, those who were shepherds. And yet God, in His providence and in His choice, said, that's who I want to reveal the birth of Christ to. I mean, there's all kind of things as you soak in this story the Christmas story, the birth of Christ, there's takeaways for you to take. You know, we do that so often on youth trips. I'm sure Paul did it when he was here. He's like, what's your takeaway from the talk today? And if you really start to pay attention to the scripture, not just get caught up in the little pictures that we have in our mind that put in a small perspective the greatness that took place that night, you'd have more and more takeaways. But we should be blown away that of all the people that God could reveal this truth to through this army of angels, He chose the shepherds. He didn't choose the scholars. He didn't choose the rich at the moment. Now, he did reveal Himself to the rich. He chose the lowly of lowly people and says, hey, your Savior has come, and He's come to bring peace. So often when there's a miraculous thing that takes place, we focus on the event that took place rather than what was God trying to communicate through that event. We see that with the miracles. Wow, God fed 5,000. Well, what's God trying to show when He fed the 5,000? That's an amazing miracle that He did, that Jesus did. He's trying to say, look, I'm in control of what you eat. And I'm the one who provides it. I'm the one who multiplies it. You farmers know that very well. That you're at the mercies of the Lord when it comes to farming, right? When He heals the sick, I have authority over all your sicknesses. I can heal you if I choose. When He heals the dead, I have authority over life and death. So often we just look at the miracles and we don't say, what does this teach me about God? And we can do the same thing with this, where we can look at, oh, the angels came and showed up, and we just focus on that. And that would be like, I heard one pastor say, that would be like being enamored with the calligraphy and the penmanship of the Declaration of Independence instead of the concepts that are being communicated in it. And we so often do that. We find something we get excited about. We get more excited about that than the fact that all of us anxious people have the angels proclaiming to a bunch of anxious, of several anxious shepherds, don't be afraid. For I brought you good news. I brought you peace. You know, usually when an army shows up, what are they there to do? Are they there to bring peace? No. When an army shows up, they're there to bring war. They're there to bring war upon you. And here are the angels of holy, holy, holy God coming before their shepherds, and they would have been fully right to go zap them or whatever they could do with their fiery sword, kill every one of them for their wickedness and their deceit and all their sins. But instead they said, don't be afraid. I brought you good news of good tidings. It's a peace army that God sends. And one theologian was talking about this as I was studying this, and was talking about it's as though heaven is overflowing with joy and it flows upon the shepherds. I mean, think of all the Old Testament saints. Their souls are in heaven and they're there and they've been waiting for this Savior. Now that moment has come. God is coming in flesh. What they have trusted by faith in that would happen, that their Savior would come and die for their sins and give them victory of their sins, has now occurring, and there's jubilee in heaven. In fact, the angels are going crazy about it. They're celebrating it. It spills over upon these shepherds that nobody cares about. And you think of the takeaways that I talk about. You think of, I'm a shepherd. I hope you see yourself as a shepherd. I hope you see yourself, no matter what your status is in life, I hope that you see yourself as a shepherd who deserves the wrath of God and that whose word cannot be trusted. And yet God in His love and His mercy and His grace brings these angels to these shepherds to proclaim this truth to them. And we look at what they proclaim. We don't we just see it this amazing appearance. We see this amazing announcement made in this time. Look at your text and you'll see the announcement spoken in Luke chapter 2. It says, and suddenly there was an, he says, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings and great joy, which will be to all people. And then verse 13 and 14 says, suddenly there was an angel, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, the New King James doesn't get this right. You say, what do you mean? It's the Bible. Well, it's a translation of the original text. If you have an ESV, it says something like this: and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. King James puts it forth. Carolyn's smiling at me. We've been having a little discussion about King James versus ESV. And I lose this argument here. It says, and on peace among those with whom he is pleased. It's not using goodwill as an act. It's not using as a parallel to peace. God brings you peace and goodwill. It's saying peace to those he's pleased with. Another translation, actually the NIV, I think, gets it even better. And it's not a word-for-word translation, but it says, on earth peace to these on whom his favor rests. I mean, don't we see that theme all throughout Scripture where God says, hey, Mary, you've been blessed. God has favor with you. Joseph, God has favor with Mary. That's why she has been, she's conceived through the Holy Spirit, a child that is that God's people have been anticipating to take place, that the angels are brimming over with joy about the fact that he's coming. It's not, I believe it, that the New King James misses it here when it does, when it makes it almost look like a parallel, but instead it's an adjective. Peace among those with whom he is pleased, or peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. It's an announcement of peace that comes to the men, and they're bursting out in praise over it. When's the last time you bursted out? I think I did a sermon recently. I forget them so quickly. I know you probably do too. Oh, we're so prone to do that. But unrestrained praise is what they're witnessing. A pastor should never say, y'all, let's sing out to the Lord. Those who know Christ should want to sing out. We should ask the Holy Spirit to prepare us to sing out to the Lord. This unrestrained praise. Now, we've mentioned this before. We'll yell loud, 80,000 of us, for a football touchdown or whatever, for a football game. But thousands of these angels are proclaiming that the peace has come to us. And what is this peace announcement? Isaiah, you can turn there if you want. If not, you can just listen. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says, this is the prophecy that was fulfilled. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end to the peace that he brings on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This baby child has brought peace. And that's what the angels are proclaiming. So what peace does Jesus bring? And I want to hit on 4 points of what peace Jesus brings. He first brings us peace with God. He first brings us peace. Jesus brings peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Charlie Thompson talked about the fact that we're enemies of God. And that's what we are. We're born enemies of God. Our heart is wicked, and it's prone to what? To make us God. I want to be God. Right, kids? I want to be the boss. I want to be in charge. I want to call the shots. That's why we pitch fits. That's why we get upset when somebody takes that away from us. And so there's this enmity between God and sinful man. And yet Jesus comes to bring peace with us, with God. There was a pastor who went and visited somebody in the hospital, and they were not doing well. They had a serious health issue, and they were dying. And he said, hey, have you made peace with God? I'm not sure that's the best question to ask somebody who's struggling, but he asked that question. He says, I didn't know we had a quarrel. I didn't know we had a problem. Well, I got to make peace with God. Well, if that man died with that mindset, he went to hell. That's a true story, and that's the way he died. He went to hell. If he died thinking he has no problem in his relationship with God, based on that he's a good person, or that he's better than some, or that for some reason God can look at him and say, hey, you deserve to be saved, then he's missed the gospel, right? See, Jesus brings us peace in regards to our relationship with God. When God first sent an angel, Gabriel, to Mary, he sent Gabriel with a messenger of peace. In Luke chapter 1, you can go back to that if you would. Luke chapter 1, 26 to 30, he says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. See, Jesus brings us favor with God. I have God's good pleasure and his favor because of the work of Christ. When he sees me, he doesn't see all my sins this past week. He doesn't see them. He sees them and he knows about them. But he sees me as righteous and blameless because I'm found in Christ. And so Christ came to bring us peace with God by his going to the cross, dying on the cross to save us from our sins. He did the same thing for Joseph. He said, Joseph, don't be afraid. That the name of Jesus, we did this in the confession of the affirmation of faith. The name of Jesus means what? Salvation. That's what the name means. It means salvation. He's brought us salvation and peace with the one that our heart has been at war with. He did it with Zechariah as well in Luke chapter 1. You see so many instances coming up to this of the peace that he brings. And Zechariah, after when he hears John the Baptist was born 3 months before, that his dad was Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied about John. And in his prophecy, he spoke about how John would go before Jesus, preparing the way for this one who would bring us peace with God through the forgiveness of sins. And Zechariah's word in Luke chapter 1 says, and you, my child, will be called, Luke chapter 1, 76 through 79, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through forgiveness of sins. That's why we can have peace with God, is because Jesus has given us salvation and the forgiveness of sins. God doesn't look at us anymore as unholy and sinful. He looks at us as righteous in Christ for those who've surrendered their life to Christ. You know, last night we as a family watched this A Wonderful Life. It came on NBC. And we at least started it. I didn't finish it. But it's one of my favorite movies. But we're watching this A Wonderful Life. Do you know not one time in that whole Christmas show do they mention Jesus? They mentioned God, kind of, well, the angels talking about how can we help this guy, but they never mentioned Jesus once in that process. And sadly, that's what the world so often is dealing with in regards to Jesus, is they don't even think of him during this time. They think of just good spirit and peace, and I'm going to be kind. This, this one period of time, I'm going to be sweet and nice. But really, there's no peace with us, with God. God doesn't look down and say, oh, those are good people. They're giving gifts to each other. That's awesome. If it's not, the peace only comes through Christ. And that's our purpose. The second one is Jesus brings peace with ourselves. Not just with God, he brings peace with ourselves. Sin not only separates us from God, but sin also brings separation with our own being. There's conflict within us. Every one of us can attest that there's a conflict. There's a war that's battling and that's going on between us. And even for believers, there's a war, right? There's a war between our heart and the spirit. We're constantly fighting anxiety and stress and the inner turmoil, and we desperately need inner peace. And Jesus came not only to bring us peace with him, but peace within ourselves. You think of the story of Simeon in the Bible, where God had promised Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died. You think of a bucket list. What's my bucket list before I die? What do I want to accomplish before I die? I want to go to Canton Football Hall of Fame. I want to jump out of a plane, whatever it might be. Simeon's bucket list had one thing on it. He wanted to see the Savior. He wanted to see the Messiah. And that was his desire. And we read in Luke 2 that Simeon took Jesus in his arms. He just walked into the temple at the same time that Mary and Joseph were there. And he said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. He's saying, I have peace because I see Christ. I have peace. I now have peace because I've seen this Messiah that was prophesied all throughout the Old Testament that I've studied and studied, that He's coming, and I've now placed my eyes on Him and I've seen Him. You not only receive peace with God, you also receive the peace of God to help you through the difficult circumstances of life. The anxieties. How many of you, I mean, don't raise your hand, but have struggled with anxiety on a weekly basis, and you've found your help in the Word of God? You found your help in the certainties of Scripture with all the uncertainty around you. And yet there's so many people, I just want to make a side note, there's so many people who struggle with anxiety and they never crack the Bible open. That would be my, brothers and sisters, that'd be the first place you need to start. You may need to get some medical help, you may need to get some things like that, but don't get the medical help minus the Scriptures. Go to the Scriptures. You know, there was a psychiatric ward, and the guy who oversaw it, the psychologist or whatever who oversaw it, said that he believed that 80% of the people would walk out cured if they knew their sins were forgiven. This was years ago. He said 80% of the people in the crazy house, and that's what they call it, the people who are struggling mentally with all kind of deep struggles, would walk out cured if they knew their sins were forgiven. He brings peace to ourselves. The third one, so peace with God, peace with ourselves. He brings peace with each other. Let me tell you something. I was the most destructive person I ever knew in relationships with people, because it was all about me. That's how I related to people. That's how I related to my brothers. That's how I related to my sisters. That's how I related to mom and dad. Everything was about David Hart Sanders. I was King Daddy of my life. I was on the throne. And there was no peace in that. There was constant turmoil, constant conflict. And I, at least the Lord at least opened my eyes to the fact that I was self-centered. And I said, yep, I can't help it. I'm going to be self-centered for the rest of my life. And I probably shouldn't get married if that's the case. Jesus brings peace with Him, but He brings peace with others. Think about Joseph and Mary's conflict. Joseph's got the woman he wants to marry. They're engaged, and she's pregnant. Uh-oh, conflict. Jesus has changed something, and he didn't think it was Jesus. He was like, oh, I better put her off. This is embarrassing for me. This relationship is broken. I can't trust her. And then what did God do? He so lovingly sent an angel to say, Joseph, it's okay. I want to let you know that God's doing something special through your wife to be. And he, instead of putting her away, walked with her through that difficult journey. Can't think of anything more difficult than raising the Son of God. As a parent, you think of, you feel how much we feel as a failure as a parent with our sinful kids. Well, I could not imagine. It says, Matthew 1, after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived is in her from the Holy Spirit. This is a miracle of the Lord. Just like childbirth is a miracle, this is a different miracle. This is a greater miracle. This is a woman that has the Son of God in her. And there were so many. One of the joys of the story of Christmas and the birth of Christ is how God just builds up their confidence that He's doing all this. Ephesians 2:14 says, For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Colossians 3:15 says, Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. You see what the angels are saying? He's saying, peace has come in Christ Jesus. Peace hasn't come in your circumstances. That's what we think. Oh, if I could just have these circumstances, I'd have peace. No. Any of us have gotten what we think would give us peace have always realized it doesn't. But he's saying peace has come. It's Jesus. That's where your peace is. Young people, if you're fighting a war of peer pressure, you're fighting a war of trying to find your identity, look to Christ as your identity. And the peace that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and blow you away. And that's what the angels are so excited about, with all the chaos and craziness in the world and the long period of time between the heyday of Israel and now where we are with the birth of Christ and the time of Roman rule. And it says, peace has come to you. Jesus brings peace to with Him. He brings peace with ourselves. He brings peace with others. And Jesus brings peace on the earth. Isaiah 2:4 says, He will judge between nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against the other nations, nor will they train for war anymore. He's saying, hey, there's going to come a day where all this war and all this battle and all this stuff is going to be done away with completely. Isaiah the prophet says, the wolf will live with the lamb. It's not only going to impact the earth and the nations, it's going to impact the animals. That the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God's going to bring this amazing, He has brought peace, but He's going to bring a greater peace one day. It's happened now, but not fully yet. So I conclude this sermon with, do you have this peace? Do you know this peace that the angels speak of? Do you know that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins so that you could be forgiven and restored in a right relationship with God, that you could be made right with God? Do you see the fruits of it impacting yourself, the peace, if your faith is in Christ and Jesus has not abandoned you, but has come to live in you by the Holy Spirit? He indwells you, you're not alone, and He offers you His peace. Peace I leave with you according to the Gospel of John, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's there for us in our own battle with ourselves, and you have peace this morning with others. The peace that transcends understanding, when you see Christ's forgiveness for your sins, it should make you forgive others quickly. You should be a quick forgiver. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should not be someone who says, I need time. I'm just telling you, that's what a lot of I don't take time. You should be a quick forgiver because Jesus has quickly forgiven you for your failures. You ought to be in the doghouse a little bit. That forgiveness should overflow into the doghouse. I'll end with this illustration. Another Christmas show. Some of you might have noticed this. I never did until someone pointed it out to me. Do you notice the time in the Charlie Brown Christmas? Kids, y'all know this show, right? And Charlie Brown, everything he does just fails. Thank you. I asked the question. Everything, he says, everything I do fails. I'm an utterly failure. And there was a time after he bought that little puny, pathetic tree, everybody starts laughing at him. You're dumb, but that's the dumbest thing you've ever done. And everybody starts laughing at him, including his own dog. Y'all remember Snoopy? He was laughing louder than all of them. How betrayed would he feel at that moment? And then Charlie Brown cries out, can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about? And we ought to ask that question all throughout the season. God, what is Christmas all about? Can anybody tell me what's Christmas all about? What does Linus do? He says, I can, Charlie Brown. And little Linus, with all his anxiety and with his little security blanket, says, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And he gets up there to tell him what Christmas is all about. And he starts to read that passage. Luke 2:8 through what we just read, through 20. And when he gets to the point where it says, fear not. You know what Linus does? He drops his blanket. He drops his blanket. And there's so much. Charles Schulz had a lot of probably, I think he was a believer. He had a lot of spiritual meaning there. He drops that security blanket. He says, fear not, for peace has come. And he drops it. And when you think of all the things we hold on for security to try to help us with our anxiety and to help us with our fears and all our little security blankets. And yet we have modeled in a cartoon. What we do, we drop that at the light of the Scriptures. That security blanket that we think is going to take away our anxiety, and it never does. But then there's a little bit more to that story that I was reminding myself of this story of the where you see the truths that the birth of Jesus can separate us from our fears. The birth of Jesus can separate us from our bad habits of holding on to that security thing, and that we fix our eyes upon Christ, the author and perfecter. And we have proof after proof in the scriptures where these scary moments became not scary moments for believers because of their fixing their eyes upon Christ. But you know what he does at the end of the movie? Charlie has that little thing and he looks at his little tree and he puts an ornament on it and boop, right? And then all the kids finally snap out of their sinfulness, and Snoopy too, and they go get all the decorations off the doghouse and they put it on the tree. But before they do that, Linus does something with his blanket. And what was that?
He wrapped it around
the tree. And he put his little security blanket at the foot of the tree. And I don't think this was Charles Schulz's reasoning, but I saw somebody play this out a little bit. But isn't that what God wants us to do to give us peace? Is to not just put our security blanket at the foot of the tree, the cross, but we put all our fear and anxiety there, and we say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to fix my eyes upon you for that peace that you've given me with the holy, holy God, and that peace that you've given me within myself, and that peace that you've given me with one another. And that peace one day, it's not in its fullest sense yet, it's here now, but it's coming in a fuller sense. One day it's going to be in this earth. And all that stuff we worry about, and the lies and the deceit and the wickedness around us, we have the promises of God. And so on this advent of peace, I hope that you're encouraged. But the first thing, I'll encourage who they proclaimed it to, shepherds, lowlifes, but that that you're also encouraged by the message. Don't lose the message for the miracle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for peace that surpasses understanding that comes through Christ and Christ alone. In his name we pray. Amen. I'm going to do